Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you're around the NFL, or you're in the loop, rather, right here on Sports Radio 610, where we are going around the NFL. And, I mean, there was some interesting football, a lot of kind of upsets. Or kind of, I think Bill Barnwell of ESPN put it as a lot of 2 days after Halloween, a lot of teams proved that they were not so scary. And there was a lot of those. Did you feel that way? I mentioned an AFC game in that late afternoon slate between the Bills and the Chiefs, where the Bills came out victorious 28-21, although they got out pretty early in this game. Did you feel like that watching this game? Because, I mean, Josh Allen looked pretty scary, but the Chiefs were the team that looked like, oh, they're starting to put it together. And I don't know that they necessarily proved themselves or looked as scary as I thought they might be.
No, I felt like this was, where have I seen this before, is how I felt. Because the Bills in control, you know, pretty much. And then all of a sudden, Mahomes and the Chiefs start doing things they're supposed to, you know, that they want to do. But at the same time, you get the regular season win. What is he now? 6-1, 5-1. In the regular season against the Chiefs, Josh Allen.
Oh yeah,
and then 0-4 in the postseason. That's where my mind went. It was like, okay,
we're just falling. Okay. Okay, that's fair. You thought about that larger, run of this. Yeah. I think I didn't lose very much respect for either team. I think Kansas City. I still know them to be, and over the last so long, a team that just kind of finds themselves during the regular season and then goes and they put their best foot forward close to the end of the season and really into the postseason. They look like they're well within range of that. I think they were dealing without Isaiah Pacheco within this game, and you looked up and it was still a team that was able to, run the ball decently well, but they were still throwing the ball around the yard a decent amount. That was just fascinating to me is the continued progression of Josh Allen. I always go back to that initial Josh Allen that I saw coming out of Wyoming, and I was like, ain't no way. Yeah. Ain't no way this is the guy that y'all are trying to convince me. And then he magically became that guy and more. Like, they are continuing to heap more and more upon him, and he is answering the call time and time again, including, I mean, just completely dicing up defenses that you would not imagine would be that case.
That defense.
We'll see what it looks like in the postseason, right, especially as they heap more upon him. But Josh Allen continuing to stand up and look like that kind of player that, honestly, I did not believe that he was capable of when he first came in the league. It's kind of fun to watch a player continue to be that. What is not fun to watch by any stretch is a young player go out with a big injury.
Oof, boy. Are you like me? I haven't even watched the replays.
Unfortunately, I did see it.
I saw it, and I'm like, nope.
Yeah. One of the things, part of my ritual of sorts on a Sunday is to go and watch NFL Network, watch their game day highlights, to just kind of get a better feel for all the different games, especially when I want to go around the AFC South, which we'll do a little bit later in the program. But Jaden Daniels, with this game well out of hand, mind you, I believe it was 38-7 at that point. Jaden Daniels, starting quarterback, still in the game, ends up dislocating his elbow during that loss. And there's a lot of conversation, obviously, questions as to why he's in the game. This was Dan Quinn talking about it. He said, I'm just gutted by it. I'm just bummed. We have read plays on it, and on the one he was injured on is usually a runner or a throw to the flat. It's not a scramble. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a design read or play in that spot. If we run it 50 times, it's usually a handoff or a throw. I'd say 50 times. It's a bummer, man, in a big way. Close quote.
Yeah, and I always defend the quarterback and the coach in these situations. You've got to drag those guys off the field sometimes in terms of him being on the field. It's just how they're wired. It's just the way it is. So I don't necessarily blame him. It's just really ugly and unfortunate.
Yeah, really. I understand where Dan Quinn is there because he was the one getting that question as to, like, why didn't you protect your guy? And, I mean, having the guy on the field, obviously you mentioned there's usually players want to be there. I don't know. For some reason, it didn't sit right with me.
Yeah.
That this seemed to be something where he goes, hey, he started out here running dangerously.
Kind of put it on him.
He kind of threw him under the bus a little bit. Now, yeah. I know that it did not come from that spirit. One thing I know about Dan Quinn, you know, being in relatively close proximity to him, covering him at times, those players love, and I mean capital L-O-V-E, love playing for him. And so I doubt that he's the guy who's going to throw his guys under the bus. However, that's what that sounded like. He's not supposed to be out here running around like that.
Yeah. What was he thinking?
If he wasn't doing that, he wouldn't have his arm bended back. But that was kind of a wild thing. So that was a big thing that happened in that game, except, hey, this Sam Darnold thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this Sam Darnold looked fan-bleeping-tastic in this football game for Seattle, to the point where I'm like, oh, this rehabilitation project for him is like, I don't have any more doubts on this. He's looked incredible. I'm not even waiting for the pumpkin to happen, mm-hmm. In part because they just have incredible talent around him. But he has made some really, really good plays for Seattle thus far this season.
Who's the offensive coordinator over there?
That is Clint Kubiak.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. You know I was going to go there.
4 touchdowns.
They kept showing them, too.
He's working magic with this dude, man.
4 touchdowns for Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
In the first half, blowout victory for the Seattle Seahawks.
He was perfect in the first half,
yes,
too.
Yes.
Like, he is just so comfortable. Now, I think it's worth acknowledging that the Commanders' defense, obviously, is not the best in the league. Mm-hmm. But regardless, at any given point, having an offense that dialed in where he's not missing, he's getting everybody involved. I'm learning the names of dudes that I didn't even know played in the NFL because mm-hmm. they are spreading the ball out so well. 21 of 24, 330 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception in the first half. And then he was, rather not in the first half, but before he was pulled for Drew Lock, and the game was well out of hand, right? He's literally had the best QBR of any game in his 8-year NFL career.
It's been amazing, and you're right. You know, Sam Darnold and the combination of what Clint Kubiak's doing for him and then that defense and giving him opportunities. That division, by the way, is getting pretty damn interesting as well.
It is, because while they're doing that, the trade deadline apparently is Howie Roseman season, is what we need to call it, as the Eagles traded for Jalen Phillips, the pass rusher from the Miami Dolphins. That's one of the guys that we saw reporting on when it came to the Miami Dolphins. Once they fired the general manager, the reporting was there. It might be a fire sale. These are some names to watch out for. Yeah. Jalen Phillips was one of those. He will make the trip to Philadelphia as they're trying to replace a little bit. Remember, mm-hmm. they brought Brandon Graham back from retirement. They traded for Michael Carter II, and they traded for Jair Alexander I think this week as well. Howie Roseman is doing it again. I saw some of the kind of analysis on this trade in particular. Jalen Phillips hasn't had a great year, mm-hmm. And he is going to be a free agent at the end of the year. This one feels like
It's a talent.
It's a third round pick, if memory serves, mm-hmm. on that trade, but he could end up, you know, signing a big deal if he does walk a free agency. He has that kind of talent.
Yeah.
And you can get a compensatory pick. And that's one of those things that I think about at the trade deadline, which brings me back to the Texans. I think we have more conversation to have about this. But are you in a place where you still have an appetite for a buy at the trade deadline for this Texas team?
Can I get back to you on that? Because actually, I can't. Because
it depends what they buy.
The trade deadline is tomorrow. And here's where I am with this, and maybe we'll dig in a little more. What could they possibly do that fixes what their problem is?
Well, fixes a problem. I don't think that you are going to have a single block that slots
improves
in
a problem. Because the defense is no problem. Special teams is no problem. Wide receiver, you got guys getting 11 snaps that you want on the field, so you think you got some talent there. Tight end might be one.
Tight end
offensive line might one, but what could they might be one, but or two or three, but what could you possibly get to fix the offensive line and tight end?
Well, I mean, I do wonder, though, if, and I don't think this is going to fix the problem by any means.
Yeah.
I keep coming back to that Breece Hall, and that's why I kind mm-hmm. of I thought about the compensatory pick of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Is Breece Hall the type of player that you think, even if you aren't able to retain his services, that could ultimately end up being a compensatory pick that you...
I think you'd get something, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd have to.
Well, but he would have to sign a big deal on the other side, and running back is a dicey proposition.
No, you're right, but I think he would. You know, he's still young enough to where he'd probably sign a deal. And by the way, you know, Woody Marks got injured in this game as well. We didn't even mention the other injuries.
Well, Woody Marks isn't the big one that I mentioned, even though you're right in that regard. It's Titus Howard.
Yeah.
Because Titus Howard, as much as, you know, we could talk about the offensive line, he's been pretty damn solid on that right side. And the difference between Titus Howard and Blake Fisher is pretty night and day, I think.
Very much night and day. And it affects your jumbo package, which, by the way, There was, I mean, he started the game. First play of the game was Blake Fisher in the jumbo, at tight end position. Did it, what? The referee got tired of saying that he was eligible when he would turn on his microphone. He's like, yeah, you know what I'm about to say, but number 57 is eligible. I think it's 57, whatever.
It is 57. Yeah, yeah. How do you not know that with how many times that we've had to hear it at this point?
But what I was talking about the division getting interesting,
yeah.
I was talking about the NFC West. Seahawks.
Oh, okay, yeah.
6-2. Rams, 6-2. 49ers, 6-3.
Yeah.
That is getting real interesting. And just as a side note, did you see what Mac Jones did yesterday at the end of the game?
Yeah, I thought it was a cool move.
That was really cool.
Subbed himself out to allow Adrian Martinez to get in and get a snap.
His first NFL snap.
That's some real, we are all in the quarterback room together. Yeah. I'm looking out for my homeboy. That's what that was. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot more to talk about, obviously, but you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. It's worth remembering that football talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, coming up next, we hear from D'Amico Ryans after this 18-15 loss to the Broncos. We'll do that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 after a Texans loss 18-15. Man, real rough game versus Denver. It was just a rough one to watch, man. Like, just I very much felt at some point with, again, very little disrespect to Davis Mills.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to a point where I was like, man, he can't connect with these wide receivers. It was very evident that balls that were, you know, way too far ahead or too high, was just like, oh, this is not going to work out. At some point. But another thing that I noticed, did you notice this? We got a decent amount of Jalen Smith defensively in this game.
Yes, I noticed that. And obviously we've been talking about the Christian Kirk Knoll thing as well. So how they played this out. But Jalen Smith, I'm not exactly sure what to make of that, because they've been having success otherwise as well. Maybe it's just he's just been looking that good in practice or doing that well. In practice, you know, they wanted to get him on the field.
Yeah, I think that there's some of that. I was thinking, because I was looking at it, trying to figure out, first and foremost, what was he getting in for? Like, what was the circumstance? What was switching around? And it seems like most of the instances in which Jalen Smith, the cornerback, rookie cornerback out of USC, where he was getting in was he would be slid in at outside cornerback. Kamari Lassiter slid into the slot. And Jalen Petrie slid back to more of a strong safety role in most instances where MJ Stewart was out. Like, that's what it seemed like they were doing there. And I don't know what to make of that. I don't think that that's inherently some level of lack of belief in MJ Stewart. I think that's just a look that they like, and probably some level of credit towards Jalen Smith.
I think credit towards Jalen Smith and Jalen Petrie being able to to come up and make the hit or tackle, you know, in certain situations. Well, I'm curious what the down and distance was on those.
On the plays? Oh, yeah. I will need to circle. Yeah. I'll do a little bit more digging to get exactly and specifically what those plays were.
You know what I'm saying? When it could be an either or?
Sure.
Put Jalen Petrie up there to come up, you know?
That's interesting.
Is what I'm wondering.
That's an interesting thought process. I'll have to go and look at that. But one of the things I will say is Jalen Smith was in one of those plays. I'm trying to recall if that was one of the final one of the drives where the Broncos go and score was a drive where Jalen Smith on a 3rd and 10, I think, was just could not break to go and create a tackle and allowed a first down on the outside on that left side.
But I'm thinking more in terms of Petrie.
Yeah.
Simply because even though the Broncos, I was a little surprised they didn't run the ball more because they had some success, especially early on with Dobbins, really both of them, but with Dobbins. And I'm wondering if that was, if it was like a second and I don't know, you know, like it could like five or you know, six, where it could be run or pass, maybe have Petrie in there.
Yeah,
that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. to get big without getting without getting too big necessarily.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to want to with the all 22 coming out, get a better look at all of those things. But yeah, honestly, the Denver Broncos surprised me a little bit, and I guess this is some of coaching, right? We were looking at this like, all right, this is a team that sends five pretty regularly. They have an opportunity to create pressure. It didn't feel like you had as much of that in this game as expected, right? Like, you didn't have them applying nearly that same level of pressure as I thought that they would in this game, which I guess game plan, you know, having a little bit of zig to the zag of the game plan.
They also kind of implemented Benito uniquely from what I had seen in the past. But I will say this, Allen in the middle of that defensive line, oh boy. That dude is a beast.
Yeah, that's one of those I would have loved to be wrong, because one of the things when I was going back and trying to watch some Broncos was, oh, this number 99, Zach Allen shows up. And boy, did he show up in this game again.
Yes,
batting down passes, especially once Davis Mills got in, you know, just creating havoc at times. Mm-hmm. That's a really good defense, man. Like, shout out to Vance Joseph, because, I mean, it showed up in a plethora of ways, whether a goal line, obviously, we've talked a little bit about that, but just in all other circumstances and absolutely flustering.
Yeah.
One, Davis Mills, especially once he got a majority of those opportunities. We're waiting on D'Amico Ryans to, you know, step to the podium to talk to the Assemble media with this game. I'm still amazed that the game, well, I guess I shouldn't be amazed that, you know, the game management went the way that it did, because we were talking about it just a second ago, you know, in the break, and this isn't a surprise from him. Like, it wasn't an egregious mistake of like the play calling in that final possession once you get the ball at 124 or what have you left in the fourth quarter, because I could easily see D'Amico Ryans thinking the first down is absolutely necessary because you were at the 20-yard line.
Sure.
Even with a pretty good punt with Tommy Townsend could give you, you're still in a place where even if you run the clock down, they don't have a crazy far way to go to try and get a long field goal in. But it just felt like it fell in line and with a context of D'Amico Ryans not really necessarily managing the game to the most optimal. There's always little instances where meat is left on the bone, at least in my mind, from a game management standpoint.
I do think it was a little more egregious than we've seen even from D'Amico, only because he kind of deluded himself into thinking that they were something and had been doing things in that game that they just weren't doing. You know, hey, you know, we played the audio earlier. Hey, we needed to throw the ball, get a couple first downs. You hadn't done any of that. You hadn't done any of that, especially in the second half. You know, he kind of like, it goes back to what I opened the show with. Like, he thinks, you know, he wants this willpower and toughness and all that. They weren't being successful doing that. You know, the smart play was to be able to play for the overtime. You get yourself more chances. You maybe get a turnover. You have a better, you know, better clock, you know, in terms of being able to run everything in your playbook. You know, it's not just 1 minute left. I thought that was his biggest mistake yesterday for sure, and one of his biggest mistakes of the season in terms of feel for the game. That's what it is. Read the room. Feel for the game. You weren't going to do anything there.
I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. Like I said, I had gotten to a point where I didn't believe in their ability to move the football, in part because of the ways that things go. I wanted to go back to, like, in part because they didn't have Noel on the field, but funny enough, like, there's instances where there were somewhat openings. There were guys open that Davis Mills just couldn't connect on. So I don't even know who to be mad at, but I'm still mad about Noel. Mm-hmm. If for no other reason, can I take you back to training camp real quick?
Yeah.
Jalen Noel wasn't running with the ones. Jalen Noel never got an opportunity to run with the ones. Mm-hmm. He was running with the twos a lot. With Davis Mills, like, that was where were having such a great connection. I was kind of sad.
We talked about it several times.
I was kind of sad to not see him get that opportunity with Davis Mills.
That's his guy.
Who they felt like they had actually built a pretty good rapport. Now, training camp, you know, over 8, 9, 10 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But it still felt like that made it even more egregious, at least in my eyes, that we didn't get enough for Jalen Noel, because it did feel like you lost separation and opportunities to create real plays in the second half.
How much of the Kirk thing, and again, you know, we've all, you know, known what, we all know what he's done, and veteran, and has made some plays in this league, and has made some money in this league. We know that Christian Kirk, you know, has the bona fides, as you like to say, but how much, were you as surprised as I was? How much of this is, well, he's a veteran, you know, that whole old school, you know, he's been there, we got to trust the vets versus Jalen Noel, you know, who had, by the way, if you didn't hear earlier, 11 snaps. They had
11 offensive snaps.
They had 73. They had 73 offensive snaps. He had 11.
Because this game went on forever.
Yes, it did.
Because this game refused to end.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it falls in line with that delusion that you're talking about. Yeah. Like, they've deluded themselves into believing that it's just going to be the experience and the willpower. And it's like, sometimes you just need Jimmys and Joes, and you also need X's and O's. But hey, that's not going to shift, right? Like, I think that I see the people that are like, well, now we're back in Fire Kaylee land. And I hear you on that. I don't know what switches there. But what can switch is getting the guys that are effective and are able to make something happen. It really takes me back to last week, and it makes me frustrated that the question that I was like, well, we have to ask it is, are they going to stay true to the things that have clearly helped them? And the answer is no. And I just don't understand how you can be in a circumstance, see something be beneficial to you, and then go away from it. Like, I imagine that there's a lot of parents out there listening that see this with a child somewhere where it's like, you studied for the test, you got a good grade. Why did you stop studying for the test? Like, that's how I feel looking at this Texans team, the way that they're operating. It's like, and when they find something good, it feels like they don't even want to stick to it.
No, you're 100% right. Maybe it's the philosophy, the overarching philosophy from Nick Caserio on down and D'Amico Ryans, old school, all that. Either way, and if you didn't know this, I said had 11 snaps. Christian Kirk had 41, which is a big disparity.
Yeah, that's the thing, is even if you want to have Christian Kirk, I feel like this is very much a team that is comfortable.
Mix it up some,
they're
man.
Comfortable mixing things in. I mean, you have a left guard rotation. How do you not have maybe even a cleaner rotation between Kirk and Noel, where they both get in the game? Like, I understand maybe you want to find some rhythm, but that doesn't seem to matter so much when you talk about offensive line. So why not have Jalen Noel, even if he's on the field, like, have more opportunities? He got the ball in his hand one time.
Yeah,
a single solitary time.
One time. One touch. And you're comfortable doing a very unorthodox thing, as you just mentioned, at left guard, but you're not comfortable doing that at wide receiver, where these guys have clearly proved themselves and deserve the time on the field? I don't understand it.
We're still waiting to see what D'Amico Ryans says to the assembled media after, day after this loss, which, I mean, I wonder, and I'm interested to see how he answers to some of these things, because we've started to kind of develop a similar thought process that I think we're calling a level of delusion with this team. But going back to this offense in the red zone, because that's clearly a huge issue that's just over the entirety of the season, but I think is the single place where you lost this game, because if you are able to punch it in one of the two times where you're right there at the goal line, this game is different. Is this the answer that they turned away from, in the similar way that they've turned away from not utilizing Noel, or turned away from utilizing Noel rather? Play action in the red zone. Well, somebody texted in was like, do they just not use play action in the red zone? So I went and looked over the entirety of this season thus far. There have been 7 plays in the red zone where the Texans have used play action.
Ouch.
7 total plays. 3 of those were scored for touchdowns. one of those set up that play for a touchdown. Now, to be fair, the first play that was scored for, you know, play action that went in for a touchdown was in the fourth quarter versus the Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
Right? The second one that went for a touchdown was a, you know, against Baltimore in the first quarter. And the play before that was a play action play from the 15, which technically counts in the red zone. Not quite what we were talking about at the goal line, but still. Yeah. And the final one is in the fourth quarter versus the Baltimore Ravens. So how much do you lean on that and the ability to use play action versus defenses that we know were not very good, especially at the time that you played them, those types of things. But then the other three times they use play action in the red zone, all versus Seattle Monday night, okay, and all of those incompletions. So is that something that scared them away? Is Nick Caley in a place where, you know, there's almost a lack of object permanence where, mm-hmm, I did it, it stopped working, so I turn entirely away from it? Like, what are you hearing when I give you those numbers on the way that this team uses play action in the red zone?
I'm hearing that there's kind of a little spitballing going on in the red zone, not really knowing, you know, which direction to go, because you talk about how they've sort of flip-flopped all of a sudden. Well, they ran the ball, was it four times? I think four times from the two-yard line, maybe five times from the two-yard line. And then the other one was a quarterback sneak that was from the, you know, the two, as opposed to running the quarterback sneak and having success with, like they're just sort of spitballing when they get to the end zone.
And 8-3-2, we talked about this last week. They don't sell play action well. Fair, mm-hmm, but I mean, right now what we're seeing in the red zone is pass, or, you know, run right into a wall. Now, of course, some of that pass was that Seattle game where, I mean, you're at the one and they're all play action passes, right? But it just feels like, man, that there's not answers. Like, mm-hmm, this is one of those places where I will come to Nick Caley and I go, how much of this is him being a first time play caller, and how much of them is just not having the creativity? There are first time play callers that have creativity.
Right.
This is where creativity shows off, right? The red zone is where there's a lot less space. I was talking to Seth about it yesterday, and he makes a valid point, is that he almost at that point didn't want to get into the red zone because there's less room. There's less room to run defenders out of the room, out of the play, and then work in those underneath routes. There's no underneath, right? It's just such a condensed space which it's going to require just really good understanding of what defenses are going to do and how to break it down in order to get you openings, and it just doesn't feel like you.
Well,
get
that's
that.
what I'm saying when they're spitballing. Like, they tried this and it didn't work, or it worked or whatever, but then it didn't, and so you switch to that, and then you switch back to this without really sort of the game plan of the red zone and being able to execute because there's less room, as you mentioned.
Yeah, man. From the 8-3-2, Noel had his chances in the games. Kirk was out. That can't.
He didn't have a lot.
That can't be the way that you view this, though, yeah, right? Like, it just can't be that, you know, Jalen Noel got a chance to play and now Kirk back, so it's his. Like, I think the goal is, right, it was winning football games. Like, I'm not losing my, mm-hmm, mind here, right? The goal is putting the best opportunity for you to get up and score on the field. And, I mean,
Kirk wasn't playing that damn good.
Without question.
No.
Yeah, where his job was just solidified right there.
No, he absolutely was not. And by the way, Texans cap, our friend, posted the red zone offensive touchdowns from the 2 yard line.
And yeah, that's
what
I was
talked about.
I was
that.
Mentioning earlier.
Yeah, you've talked about that. That's pretty incredible that you have zero.
Yeah, no, that's an incredible indictment. And yeah, before you moved away from it, I was going to say we move away from it, who are the teams that are like even just barely above?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fun to kind of let's go through this, right?
I got it right here.
Who are the teams that are just above? The teams that you go, they're not good either, but you know, they at least have.
Before I give you that, I was looking at the standings this morning, and you realize there are only five teams in the entire AFC that have fewer wins than the Texans right now.
Yeah.
Can I give you those five teams?
Sure.
Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Jets.
Okay.
Browns.
Sure.
Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
And Titans.
I'm inclined to laugh at all those teams.
That's my point. Like, only those five teams have fewer wins than you. The five worst teams that are, like you said, laughable in the AFC. That's it. Dolphins, Jets, Browns, Raiders, and Titans. The only ones that have fewer wins than the Texans. That is problematic. Now let's talk about the red zone touchdowns from the two or in. Texans have zero.
Correct.
32nd in the league. Right above them, New Orleans Saints have one. Raiders have one. Dolphins have one. Are you sensing a trend here? The bad teams right ahead of them. Falcons have two. Vikings have two. Patriots have three. And so on. But yeah, zero, and right above you, Dolphins, Raiders, and Saints.
It's frustrating. Also because it's getting me to a place where I'm like, well, what if we do this? Like, I'm not no offensive play caller. Somebody asked on the text line, is this a Ben McDaniels thing? This is an entire staff thing. There's no way that you go through all of these instances where you have so limited instances in the red zone, and then you're still so ineffective once you do get in the red zone. Can nobody come up with no answers? Like, this ain't really one of those circumstances. And if it is, this is a real problem. I'm not saying that that's what it is. But if it's a if it's an instance where people have answers and they're just like, no, I'm inclined to keep them to myself, that's a real problem. But if anybody in that room has an answer, they'd be stepping up and giving answers. Like, I think that this is the circumstance where it is. You need to be able to get answers some way, somehow. All right, let's take a break real quick. We'll come back and see what D'Amico Ryans has to say to Assemble Media. You're listening to In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. All right, D'Amico has stepped to the podium at NRG Stadium. This is what the head coach has to say on a Monday.
It's morning?
Yeah, it's good morning.
All right, let's go.
I know what time you are.
It feels like afternoon.
D'Amico, midway roughly through the season here, the defense has had a lot of success. It hasn't been that way in offense. It's been kind of lopsided. As an organization, in terms of how you build the roster, how you put it all together, how do you kind of get that where it's so not so one-sided from one side of the ball?
We have to play team, but it's a team game, and we have to play complementary football, all three phases, helping each other out, however that looks every week. To me, it really doesn't matter. It's about finishing the game in a winning fashion. That's scoring more points than the other team. That's stopping them, not allowing them to score points.
In a few hours, but do you have any new information on C.J. Stroud? And if Davis Mills does have to play, what are your expectations of him?
And CJ's in the concussion protocol. Spoke to him last night. He's feeling a little bit better. We'll see how the week goes and how he has progresses throughout the week. And Davis hasn't stepped in and played. We just expect him to go out and do his best. All right, just play the offense the proper way, make great decisions with the football.
With some of the struggles you guys have had on some of the short yardage plays, is there an adjustment, a change in the future with how you guys approach those so that you can maybe mitigate some of those issues?
I hope so. We're trying to convert them. So we have to do something different. Obviously what we're doing, it hasn't worked. So we just got to find a different way.
Coach, when you go back and you look at the play that caused CJ to be injured or concussed, how do you balance looking at it from coach's standpoint, former player standpoint, and then with the way that Azeez was penalized last year, and it was basically almost like the same hit. It wasn't the head area, but how do you balance, being able to judge that?
Yeah, look, it's a tough play, right? The quarterback is sliding. The quarterbacks are protected when they slide, but what I'm learning is if you hit them, don't hit them in the head or neck area, they slide, you hit them in the chest, and that's just fine. So that's what I learned.
Mika, do you expect to be, you and Nick expect to be aggressive at the trade deadline?
Yeah, we'll see what happens throughout the trade deadline. Not involved in that right now, just finishing up here. We'll see what happens, later throughout the afternoon.
The end of your last possession, any regrets doing what you did? Do you think it was the right decision? Or?
No regrets. Look, we're trying to get in position to score, right? We tried to throw the ball. We had a couple quick options to throw the football, and then get the clock moving, get our two-minute drive started. It didn't happen.
A lot of focus, obviously, on what changed when CJ left the game, but you also weren't able to pretty much go jumbo package the rest of the game because Blake's on the field for Titus. Did that change a little bit of offensive football that you might have wanted to play otherwise?
Not really. It didn't change much for us. Not going jumbo package is not a huge deal for us. Still had opportunities to run the football. We just got to make sure we're targeting the right way. We got to make sure we're blocking and making sure we're finishing our blocks. If we want to be great in a run game, it's going to take more finish in our blocking, which we got to improve.
A couple years ago, you guys were in a similar position like this. CJ gets hurt in this couple of games. You guys were able to win a very pivotal game against the Titans. Obviously, much different roster, different quarterback, things of that nature. But how much can you draw back from that experience? How you were able to rally the team and be able to get key wins? How much can you draw back from that experience to apply to this situation?
Every experience, everyone, it's new. It's a new team, new year. So we'll do what we have to do, put ourselves in the best position to go out and play a great game, to play winning football. So that's how we'll approach it this week.
visceral response. I know when you get inside the 1 yard line, you think we're supposed to be able to score. We should be able to lock, knock folks off the line of scrimmage. However, if it comes to a point that sometime you can play action, maybe you can do be an option as opposed, okay, line them up, let them knock, then go play action on them, throw the pass for 1 yard. It's touchdown, it's touchdown. Like you say, you want to win the game.
Yeah, it's a lot of, right, what ifs, right? We throw the ball on the goal line. We don't get in. Hey, you guys should run the ball more. We run the ball. We don't get in. Hey, you should throw. So there's always a wish I would have, what I would have done different, look back at it, do a different look. I approach the game from a physical mindset of, hey, if you're on the 1 yard line and we got to knock somebody back to get in the end zone, that's how I approach it. Like, and that's how I always approach it. And then when we do get in the end zone on the fourth down, we got a false start. So it's like we got in the end zone. CJ got in, and but that's take points are taken off the board because we have a false start. We're not locked in on the snap. So it's just so many things there that goes in. Yeah, there's a physical mindset. That's what this game is built on. You have to have that mindset, and you should want to be in those situations where, hey, we got to knock somebody off the ball to go get 1 yard. If you don't have that mindset, then you're probably not going to get in.
Kalen and Kamari had good games yesterday. You immediately trusted them, and they've been consistently impacting the game. What's stopping Jalen Nolan, Jaden Higgins from doing that early in their career?
You're talking about, I mean, four completely different guys. I don't think you can – it's not apples to apples as you compare those guys. But all our young guys have done a really good job. They're all growing, developing, doing the things that we asked them to do. I think Jay Noel and Jay Higgins have done a really good job of the things we've asked them to do.
Coach, 10 weeks into the season, what would you say that your team's offensive identity is?
Oh, for us right now, offensively, like, we got to be better. Like, we have to be better, and that's from all standpoints of just putting guys in position, that's executing all the way across the board. We just have to be better offensively.
Titus Howard and concussion protocol as well. How's he doing? Did you have a chance to also talk with him? And also, were any of those injuries for Christian or Daryl Taylor, are those long-term injuries?
Yeah, Titus is in a concussion protocol as well. Again, you'll see how those guys progress. As you guys know, concussions are, you know, it's very sensitive to each guy. It's you want to make sure they come back and they're okay when they come back. We don't want to rush guys back from concussions. It's all about, you know, players' health and safety. That's the first and foremost thing that I'm concerned about. Titus is feeling better. I did speak with him as well. With Christian and DT, Christian had a leg injury and DT had a ankle injury, so we're still, you know, evaluating those guys, and we'll have to see what that looks like as the week goes along as well.
But it is, I guess I'm saying.
Yeah. What went into some of the struggles in getting Nico the ball in the second half? He had a great first half and then wasn't able to have a catch in the second half.
Yeah, look, we trying to get the ball to him. Like, it didn't work out. Of course, we all like to see the ball go to Nico, right? 20 times, put the ball up to Nico. That's everybody's first, you know, first thought, like, get the ball to Nico. Of course, we want to get the ball to Nico. We got to do a better job of game planning and putting them in a position to get the ball more.
D'Amico, you know, obviously you don't want to be at this point, but, you know, how much does 3-5 concern you? And how do you navigate it when every game matters here, from here on out?
Yeah, for me, every game mattered from the start of the season. So it doesn't change my mindset. Every game is important. Every game it's on the line. So that doesn't change where we are. We just got to go play better football. And look, man, for all the miscues, for everybody, like, we, again, you're right there, had opportunities to close it out, multiple opportunities there to convert on third down and make plays where we got to make the throw, make the catch. We got guys in position. Defensively, we got to find a way to get a stop, you know, to get off the field there. So we had our chances. Right? We came up short.
When you look around the AFC and you look at your record, do you feel like the playoffs are still attainable? And if so, how do you all get to that goal?
Right now, we can't talk about playoffs until we play football better.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
There's D'Amico Ryans talking to the Assemble media, and there's some stuff in there. John Lopez, what caught your attention the most?
Yeah, two things definitely caught my attention, and it comes back to what we all know has been the attention, has been the most important thing, and that's play calling specifically in the red zone. You heard there at the end, we've got to do a better job of game planning and putting him in position. We was talking about Nico Collins, but this really sort of made my eyebrows raise a little bit, and that's when he was talking about potential changes down in the red zone. Said we have to do something different. We got to find a different way.
Okay.
Now, what does that mean? Is that plays? Who's involved in the game plan? And I'm not saying change the play caller, which has been a discussion, this year, but I don't know if you heard that, but it was over the course of talking about, different ways to approach the red zone, but he actually went to, and there's an ellipsis in here. He didn't go one to the next, but I'm saying these are two things that he said, we have to do something different. And then he said something, and then he went, we got to find a different way. And I'm like, that's something.
It is, but everything is so vague, and obviously I'm not expecting him to get up and give us particulars as to what everything is. I mean, to the point of, I think the most vague response was obviously the question where he's asked, I think is this the second week in a row that he's asked this question? What is your offense's identity? If it's not
what
the second week in a row.
What did he say last time?
I
think it was after Seattle
moving the football, scoring points, I think was it. This time his answer is we've just got to be better.
Yeah.
It's not an identity. I understand where he's coming from. They do need to be better. But everything, I saw someone during the point curse of this saying, D'Amico has nothing but excuses. These aren't really excuses. These are just generalities that don't particularly speak directly to what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. We've just got to be better is fine. But I also have that. We've just got to be better. Mm-hmm. I think the question I have is, do you have the path to getting better is the question. And I don't even know in just a general sense with what you have on the field, if you have necessarily a wide path to being better. But there are small things that are paths to getting better that I think we've seen that they have neglected to choose. Mm-hmm. But that's the question that I think needs to be asked. Obviously, on the outside, we're asking that. I think as an organization, if they're going to be real, right, especially if we're headed towards the mm-hmm. trade deadline tomorrow, What do you have the path to get there, and are you on that path to get there? Because if you want to be honest with yourself, which you need to be, that's question number one.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because he was asked specifically about being 3-5,
mm-hmm.
and do you feel like the playoffs, or how your mindset is versus in these games, and if the playoffs are realistic? And he said it doesn't change my mindset. I think it does. I think it does. And the hint to that is what he talked about with changing the game plan. We have to game plan better. We have to do things different. He knows the clock is ticking, man. The clock is ticking. And
not early.
It's not early. It's not late, but it's not early. It's week 10. He has to know, look, this, and we've talked about it today, this is a Super Bowl caliber defense. The special teams played freaking outstanding yesterday, and we're not getting it done on offense. We need to change. I expect, even if it's not a public thing, I expect they're going to be changing the way they do business, at least game planning for the offense.
You're right. He gave the slightest cracks as to, it's not only is it not good enough, that's something that he will say.
We got
to
change.
But we got to find ways to be better. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, something that D'Amico said in there finally got me to the place of, I think I see the difference, and I think I see the issue, or one of the main issues, with some of the, Patriots' way of we just got to do our jobs. I'll tell you what I think that is next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.